Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is... it's 6:30 on Wednesday. Not sure of the date. Is it the 15th? Might be, something like that. And I'm back at Biggleswick Farm. Been home and come back yesterday. So it's nice to be back. Sorry I haven't done a new dude for a while. I have been a bit busy with a number of things. And also, it's quite nice to do them from the farm, as it were. The farmstead, I suppose. It's not, you know, when you say farm, people think of, 100 acres or more. It's not a homestead, so it's a farmstead. Anyway, whatever it is, the land that we're slowly cultivating, and it's a slow battle, because obviously at this time, as we suspected, nature is quite ballistic. But anyway, I had to go home, pick up some various bits and bobs, things to do, so I haven't been able to do, well, I just haven't got around to doing a new dude for a few days, so... apologies for that. I've lost track of what the date is, but it'll be on the webpage that you download the video, the audio track from. There you go. The sun is shining. There is not a cloud in the sky. There is not a chemtrail in the sky. Today I won't be talking about chemtrails as I did the other day, which was just quite bizarre. And it's the same sort of time of day, and funnily enough, not a plane in the sky. I mean, I lied. There's a plane going over with nothing coming out the back, not even a contrail. Fascinating. But that's it, that's the only one I've seen. I've been out here for a few minutes, whereas the last time, as you know, it was just a constant flow of aeroplanes. Same sort of time. Bizarre. Anyway, I'm not going to make any conclusions. You can make those. I'm sure you've got your own ideas. It's just nice to have my glasses are falling off my head. That's better. The cats like it here. They don't really like the travelling between the two, but they like it here. And Momo is sitting next to me on the ground. I'm actually on my little sun station, which is two pallets. And some scaffold boards. It just keeps you off the ground. Excuse me. The wet dew on your feet. And it's quite nice. And actually, this morning, the chairs are dry, so there wasn't so much wet dew on the ground. So, anyway, it's nice to be back. Coffee is in my hand. One of the things I ordered when I was in the week, or last week, I think it was some more tobacco, pipe tobacco. And I have a new one to try, which I will be trying on the pipe smoking channel at the Vobe Show, which will be out on Sunday. But I'm going to smoke some today. I have had some yesterday. Now, it's 50 grams in a pouch, and it's called Danish Dice. Never heard of it, actually, before. And it's cut in almost cubes. It's quite odd. But it has a very sweet... I mean, it's obviously aromatic. It's got a very sweet smell. I don't tend these days to buy aromatics, but I saw it... and I thought I would give it a go, just for a change. I tend not to buy them in pouches. I don't know, really, if there is any difference of it being in a pouch, in a plastic pouch. All I think is, it appears, when you buy it in a pouch, that there is less tobacco in there than when you buy it in a tin. Anyway, what does it say here? Danish Dice is a unique cube-cut tobacco made of Virginia and Burley tobaccos. Place the dice in the pipe and press gently before lighting, which is what I'm going to do. And I'm also going to pour it into a tin. I don't know whether pouring it into a tin will make it any easier to put it into the pipe. Actually, one of the things I do need to do is tap out the pipe from yesterday and get rid of the tobacco. This pipe, I think, is got a military, not, is it shank? A military connection. I forget what they call it. In other words, they call it a military. I think they call it a military connection. You know, pipes come in two bits, don't they? You get the stem. That's the stem, and the bowl with the shank. That's right, connected. And then they, you know, one's pushed into the other. And you can, when you go to clean it, you can pull them apart, get the old pipe cleaner down there, and give it a whiz round. Now, with the military one, what they call the term is, it is a quick release, effectively, but there's no button to press as in, you know, normal quick release things. Oh, sun is dipping behind the only cloud. Oh, I see, there is a bit of a cloud. That's the only bit of cloud, though. It's an elongated one. It's dipped behind there, and God, when it dips behind there, the temperature really drops. And so you notice it more than not, if you see what I mean, at this sort of time. Anyway, so it comes apart very rapidly, is the idea. There's barely anything holding it together, but it does hold together very well when you're smoking it. Don't ask me quite why it's that, but I think the reason it gets its name is simply because these old military generals and things, or indeed, I suppose, the privates who were fighting, they could be resting around and having a smoke. And then suddenly, on quick manoeuvres, they had to whack their pipe in their pocket. And a pipe in your pocket with a stem, you know, if you're roughing and tumbling it, it's likely to snap or get broken. And so the fact that you can just pull the thing apart rapidly is so that you can put the two parts in the same or different pockets, and so there's less likely of the stem. It's the stem, really, that might snap because it's long and thin. Anyway, this happens to be a bent pipe, and it is called Gel Bent. Foring made, gel bent. I think that's a J. Anyway, I thought I'd give you that bit of informazione. Let's stoke it up on this fine, well, it will be fine. God, it's gone really cold. In the sun, it's just so nice. Now, this tobacco that is cubed is quite interesting because it's a bit like putting a spoon into a jar of granulated coffee. Anyway, as I was saying before, I don't know, when you buy a pouch of something, it just feels like there's not as much tobacco in there as when you buy a tin. I don't know why that would be, but that's the feeling I get. I want to put that in the tin, but I won't do it this minute. I think I'll wait because I don't want it to blow. And I've got a tin with out the subliminal messages that the government are trying to push on you, because you're not allowed. I can't say it on YouTube now because apparently it's medical misinformation to say that nicotine actually is very good for you, especially as a combatant to getting rid of the spike protein. Let's get my lighter. I'm a bit bunged up this morning. Bunged up, I think, from the chemtrails. Julia gets the same. When they've been spraying, and we're out in the fresh air, all the sinuses, you know, the body is detoxing again. It's just pushing away, which is good. I mean, it's a good sign that the body is working. If one was had a temperature and was feeling listless or constantly streaming, well, you'd be in a big detox there, wouldn't you? Well, that's the amazing thing about the body, is it? It is able to at least combat most of these. And the sun is coming back out again. There we go. Let's get this going. Now, this tobacco is lit. There's a caramelly taste to it, which is quite nice. We have to be a bit gentle with this one because it burns very hot, which can give you something called tongue bite. It's rather lovely though. It's a slight breeze, but the sun station is in between some hazels, which mostly, unless the wind really comes from a different direction, shelters me, which is nice. So I'm not having a walk round today. I will have a walk round shortly, make sure everything's all right. We had a walk round yesterday afternoon when we got here. Nice to hear the old, I don't know if you heard that, they keep wanting to say partridges, but they're not partridges, pheasants. We've been finding pheasants' eggs just on the ground, and they're abandoned, stone cold. And I believe somebody in the comments said that sometimes they, you know, they lay their eggs, and it's maybe the first of a clutch. And it, they may come back, but I don't see any sign of that. And when we find them, they're stone cold now. They're obviously, you know, defunct. But then I imagine pheasants constantly laying eggs. Well, that's the third one we've seen just lying on the grass, in not in any kind of nested area. It was almost as if it was caught short and just had to pop out the egg. So I don't really understand that, but there we go. I've been sent a book called about quantum, what is it? Consciousness, I think. Haven't had a chance to read it, other than, I think, either the preface or the introduction. It's fascinating. The chap who sent it to me, very lovely bloke, very generous bloke, knows that I'm sort of on that quest, if you like, the who am I, what am I quest. It's I think it's an important quest that we forget to do. I think we do it when we're kids, when we're young. We want to know who we are, what we are, because when we're told those things, that what we are, our name, I think at first we don't quite accept it. Doesn't sound right. Until everybody else seems to have accepted it. And then we think, well, that must be it then. That's what I am. I'm this human. And I am a name. Not have a name, but am a name. And then we accept all that because school, you know, they call out the register. It really imprints this name on you, the name that's registered with the government, a name that actually is not you, it's a label. But you're not a name, are you? You're more than that, just as you're just your body. Your body is like a car. In my world, your soul gets into the car and drives the car around. And sometimes that car, which isn't you, when you get in your car, the car's not you, it's just a vehicle of getting you about, isn't it? And sometimes you get a flat tire, and sometimes you get a broken arm, you get repaired. Sometimes you know, a limb has to be removed. When an artificial limb is put on, just as, you know, new parts for a car. Oh, this military thing I said was great. It's just popped out, leaving me holding the bowl. So, to the who are you thing. Well, I mean, I've been on this quest for some time, all this understanding, but I think that's an important thing because it's it's the way out of the system in many ways, I think. Because the system, you know, the legal system, the United Kingdom system, United Kingdom doesn't exist. Where is it? It's an idea. It's an idea of a place. Because it's a name of something that is agreed by a number of people of what it is, but it's not a real place. And even Wikipedia has a map. So it's a map, not a real place. It's a map. They have a picture of a map. It has an anthem. So it's UK has something to do with some sort of anthem. And it's a number of different kingdoms that have been united. And a kingdom is only a realm of somebody's dominion. It's not an actual place. The earth is a real thing. As real as anything can be real, of course. But within their system, the earth is a material thing that we are on, held by something called gravity. If gravity exists, people say that gravity doesn't exist. You know, I mean, it goes on and on, this thing. But the accepted norm, let's say, of the system is that the earth exists and gravity exists. And I walk upon the earth. I don't walk upon the United Kingdom. I can't walk upon a concept. How can you walk upon a concept? And on the earth, there are islands, and water surrounds them, and the island that I happen to be walking on excuse me, is for thousands of years now has been known as Britain. It has other names, of course, but Britain will do. So I don't live in the United Kingdom. I don't live in, I live on Britain. I don't live in it. That would mean I would be buried up to my waist or even further deep, subterranean. Anyway, so these are just labels, aren't they? They're just labels. And the name is another such label. It's not the real me. And so, I think it's an important thing to be able to identify what you are and what you're not, particularly what you're not, because the legal system only identifies with the legal name, the first name and surname combined, to make a name. And anybody who has explored this will know that in a courtroom, in the legal system of the modern era, they will not accept somebody who has only, say, a first name. They need the legal name, and you can't get into court without it. And if you're not the legal name that's registered as a name with the government, as in on the register, of which you get a piece of paper called a certified copy of an entry. We mistakenly call it a birth certificate, but it's not a birth certificate. I mean, the idea of a certificate of birth is quite laughable, really. It's like, you know, you've won the egg and spoon race, and here's your certificate to say that you have won the egg and spoon race. Well done, mate, you were born. Here's your certificate to say you were born. The evidence that you were born is that you are alive in human form. You don't need a piece of paper, do you? And that piece of paper doesn't say birth certificate, it says a certified copy of an entry. And at the bottom of that piece of paper, which we use for banking, for passports, for identification of who we are, it says on it, warning, this cannot be used as evidence of identity, or words to that effect. I may have paraphrased that. In other words, the bit of paper cannot be used to identify you, yet we use it, and we're asked for it, and yet it cannot be used. It says on it, it cannot be used as a means of identification, which means you cannot actually be identified. Only because it's in small print at the bottom, people don't notice it, or they don't even think about it. It means that you cannot be identified unless you yourself admit to a name. In other words, if you have a bailiff, let's say, knocking on your door, or a policeman, or anyone, and they knock on your door and they say, Mr. Vobes, or whatever your name is, whatever the name that you think you are, and you say, yes, you have now joined to them and entered their system. They now have you as a legal entity and can do whatever the system is. You know, the bailiff will force you to pay and what have you. However, if you go, sorry mate, who? No, don't know who that is. What can they do? If you're not the person being another legal word for a legal fiction, if you're not the person they're looking for, I mean, what are they going to do? You open the door and they say, Mr. Vobes, and you say, no. Sorry, mate, who are you looking for? Mr. Vobes. Oh, no, that's not me. I don't know who that is. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's next door. I think you've got the wrong place, mate. I mean, if they genuinely went to ask somebody who wasn't known as that name, and they said, you know, are you Mr. Vobes? And they would say, no. They couldn't say, well, you are. How could they? To me, it's the same with letters. It's like them writing to Sherlock Holmes, or Dr. Watson, or Dr. Livingstone, or anybody. You see, in my world, you identify yourself however you want, because effectively I am a soul in a body experiencing life. I'm not a name. And as such, you can't be identified as that name. You can only be identified if you agree to it. Now, of course, there is the problem that they may say, well, I think you are.
And you say,
okay, prove it. Prove it's me. Prove that that name that you've got there is me. And ultimately, they'll produce a birth certificate, the copy of an entry, certified copy of an entry. Then what happens? You point to the bottom line where it says, warning, this document cannot be used as evidence of identity. And you say to him, what are you proving exactly? You've got a piece of paper that is a certified copy of an entry. In other words, you've pulled out a name from a ledger somewhere that has this name in it, and you've got a piece of paper that says this is a certified copy of that name exists on a register. That's all it's saying. And look, it even says at the bottom, you cannot use this as evidence of identity, because how can you? How can you match a piece of paper with simple words on it with somebody else? It has no signature, for one thing. I mean, when you're born, you don't write your signature on it. Of course, it might be more complicated now if they took your DNA at birth, or they chip you at birth. And then I suppose they could say, well, you're the same human being. But all that really says is that somebody has still given you a name. It's still not your name. Photographs and things. They said, well, you know, you're on YouTube. We can see. And say, well, again, okay, prove beyond all reasonable doubt that that's me, especially in days of AI. AI could have produced all that. Anyway, the point is, only you can agree to be whatever. It's not really a name. It's what you agree to be. Your attention will be acknowledged by. Because after all, we all have different names, don't we? Some people will have nicknames for us. They might call you, you know, lovers might call you soft, cuddly names, you know, Cuddles or something. Other people might call you Baldy. Other people might call you Monsieur Levobes. You know, people, and it's what you agree at that time to have your attention and agree to. If somebody comes up to me and says, excuse me, mate, have you got the time? I decide whether I'm going to be known as mate for that conversation. But thereafter, I might correct the person and say, oh, don't call me mate. You can address me, or not address me, because an address is like Your Majesty. That's an address, isn't it? As well as where you live, you know, the number in your house and the road, etc. But you can be addressed. That's more of an official term. I can be known to you as Richard. And at the end of the day, Richard is only a sound. It's a sound that is produced verbally. But some people write it down, and then again, it's what you agree to being known as or will answer to. If you say the word Richard, you will gain my attention. I don't know whether any of that is of any use, any help, or any of any interest. But most people stumble at that very first thing when they're in trouble. They stumble because they acknowledge a legal fiction's name. Trouble is, we become very attached to it, don't we? We sort of get to like it. And then we're told, if you can't change your name unless you go to deed poll, which is another legal thing. Of course you can change your name. You can be whomever you like. You are a soul having an experience in a world of your making. Your thoughts are creating and observing. Well, you're observing, and your thoughts are being created. Anyway, enough of this. This is one of the problems. I get very philosophical sitting out here in the beautiful sunshine. I don't know whether this has been interesting or just a load of old dreary nonsense. A lot of people think it is. But we're all on a path of self-discovery. But some people don't get off the starting block. Till next time, goodbye.